This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move farther into the prophet Zephaniah with The Great Day, Seek the Lord, Oracles Against the Nations, More Judgment, and Conversion of the Nations. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips.
My mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to Father, and to Son, and to Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Thank you. reading from Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm just going to come right out and say it. I love to fly. I know there are lots of people that don't, but I'm not one of them. I love everything about flying. I love waiting in the terminal for my flight. I love sitting on the plane, watching everyone board as they try and stuff their overhead or their carry-on in that little overhead bin. And then they get mad when they have to gate check it because it won't fit, even though the flight attendant told them it wouldn't fit anyway. I love being 30,000 feet in the air, looking down at the ground, then coming back down again. It's just an amazing thing. And before I came to seminary, I had the pleasure of having a job where I got to fly quite a bit, so much so that I could have any number of stories that I could tell you, so many adventures, like the time my bag got left behind in Milwaukee because it caused the plane to be overweight. I checked it, by the way. I didn't try to stuff it in that little overhead bin. I did check it, but it caused the plane to be overweight. Or the time I flew on an airline so small that the co-pilot doubled as the flight attendant. Oh, wait a minute, I think that was actually the same flight, now that I think about it. Or the time we were delayed because of maintenance. And as I looked out the window, the co-pilot took a rag out of his pocket, wiped something off the wing, came back in and said, okay, I took care of it, we're ready to go. Wait, why do I like to fly so much? Maybe it's because of this particular flight that I took. I was flying into a small town in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It was an overnight flight. I think it got in at like midnight, so it was pitch dark when we were coming in on our final approach to the airport. You couldn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, out of the side of the plane, you could see the lights of the town. The airport was kind of in a valley, and so the city was standing on this small little mountain, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and it was so dark, you could only see the lights of the town. And for a short time, the plane was level with those lights. And it seemed like the lights were just hovering there. And I was fascinated, because one minute it was pitch black, and the next minute, you could see the lights of the houses, and it was just like they sort of appeared. And that's what I thought of when I read our text for this morning. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And this is immediately after Jesus calls his disciples the light of the world. The lights on that city of the hill will shine forth. The lights of that city on that hill in Michigan shined forth. You were able to see them for miles. And likewise, each of us will shine forth with the light of Christ. That light will shine in and through each and every one of us. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, our Lord says. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, put it on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In other words, we shouldn't hide the fact that we are a child of Christ. We should never in any way be ashamed of that. Everything we do in life should reflect that we are a baptized, beloved child of God. And I admit, that's not an easy thing to do. It's not an easy thing for we pastors to do, for professors to do, for every one of you here. It is not an easy thing to do. Each week in the divine service, we stand before God and we confess we are poor, miserable sinners. We know that by nature we are sinful and unclean. We confess that fact here in this very chapel. We confess that we have fallen short. And right now you're probably thinking, I'm a sinner. I know that. I confess it all the time. But if that's the case, how can I possibly be called the light of the world? And we think that way because of the things going on in the world. Your members, when you go out into the parish, are going to think that way because of what's going on in the world. They watch TV and they spend time on the internet and they see these people who tell you that they know what it is to live a Christian life. And you know those people that I'm talking about. They're the people who have all those TV shows that are on all the time. They're the ones that your members come to and say, Pastor, did you see that program? It was great. Or they have that awesome podcast that everybody's listening to. Maybe you even listen to it. They have the memes on the internet and TikTok, and they have the videos that everybody shares, and they just think they're great. And they always tell you they know what it means to truly be Christian. They know what it means to be the light of the world. They know what it takes, and it sounds good. Everything they say makes so much sense. It's so easy to do. So people start to think, maybe I can do this. Salvation is in my grasp. It's so easy to do. I just have to reach out and take it. These people say they're living a Christian life. If they can do it, why can't I? Take a closer look at what these people are saying is their primary goal. For them, the goal is self-improvement. It's all about putting the focus on the self. They want us to think being the light means living a perfect life, that everyone will want to be just like us. They convince people to think inside of you, think the ability to fix yourself, to fix your sinful condition is within you. Just like that pilot who looked at my plane and thought, yeah, I can fix that, just before he wiped off whatever it was on the wing. They look at themselves, look at their lives, and they say, yeah, I can fix that. But their thinking is flawed. The truth is, we can never be enough to be the light that Christ calls us to be. That's why such a comfort for us to hear Jesus say, you are the light of the world. He isn't telling his disciples, you should be the light of the world. He isn't saying, you have to be the light of the world. He's saying, you are the light of the world. The truth is, it isn't about us. It never has been about us. It never will be about us. It will always be about what Christ has done for you. We can't earn God's blessings because He gives them to you freely. We can't become the light of the world because you are already the light of the world by what Jesus has done for you. But how is this possible? How can, even in our sinful condition, this be possible? I think about what light does. Light allows you to see through the darkness. Christ says, do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house? You don't turn on a lamp and hide it. You put it up high on a stand so the light lights up the room. Just as the light shines forth in the dark, we can't keep the light of Christ to ourselves. It makes just as much sense as hiding a lamp as it does to hide the salvation that Christ won for you. We're not perfect by any means. Most of us do not live lives that others would envy. I know that I don't live a life that anyone would envy. Instead, we're forgiven sinners. We have a loving Savior. This is why, as light, we point not to ourselves, but to our Savior. Jesus is the true light of the world, the light the darkness cannot overcome. Jesus triumphed over the darkness on the cross. 3 days later, he confirmed that triumph as he rose from the dead. With his resurrection, he demonstrated he really is the light of the world. All his promises will come true, especially the promise that all who believe in him will have eternal life. We are sinners. We sin every day. There are times we speak ill of others. There are times we don't honor our parents. There are times we probably don't honor our professors as we should. We don't honor our spouses as we should. We say things that we shouldn't every day. And yet we still reflect the light of Christ. We aren't perfect. We never will be. And yet because of what Christ did for you on the cross, his light shines through. You're not forgiven or redeemed because of what you do. It's because of what Christ has done for you. We know, and we confess, we cannot do anything without Christ. We know there are times we will stumble in this life. No matter what we do, Christ's forgiveness is always available to you. He will never leave you. When we repent of our sins, Christ is there. The world will see his light. The world will see the one who brought you out of the darkness of sin. He's that city that shines forth. He's the lamp placed on a stand, burning brightly. It's about his forgiveness. It's about his sacrifice. A sacrifice through which you have been assured eternal life. In his name, the name above all names, the only name by which we are saved. Amen.